Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hello and welcome to the Trampled Bet podcast for the weekend of Saturday, August 6th, 2022. I'm your host, Andy Vaughan, and with me, as always, is Gordo. Hi, Gordon.
Hello, how are we doing?
Yeah, very, very good. The beginning of season five.
It is. I can't remember any TV shows that I thought season five was quite good in. But I'm hoping that we maybe start a trend. You're going to see for the fucking Shield or something. I can feel like, aren't you?
Every season of the Shield is glorious.
Right. Okay.
Season five. No. See, everything gets good, and then like it has a dip, and then a bit of a resurgence around season four. And yeah, I don't know. Maybe someone can suggest, Dave, a good season five, a show with a good season five, or a notable season five.
One of Dave's picks was essentially, we're asking him this season come with a season five that was good for the TV show.
And that's just, there's a spoiler right there. Our guest for episode one of season five, Mr. Dave Greenfield. How you doing, Dave?
Yeah, good guys. You good summer?
Pretty good. Pretty decent. A lot of baseball, a lot of golf. Got some mics, as you can see here. If you're one of our patrons. The reason that we have mics. So Andy, you got a lovely fetching pink cable for yours. I got a nice yellow one.
It's orange. I ask Gary for orange, and instead it definitely does look coral pink, but that's cool.
Yeah, that is decent.
Yeah, because I've just seen your notebook that you're using when you held.
Yeah,
you know, let's not be having a go about color schemes here, G-man.
Well, I do like it.
So we're back to, it feels like being back in the studio. It feels like being back in the early pre-COVID seasons one and two with the proper mic set up. So we're good to go, raring to go. It was nice to have a break over the sort of off season for UK football. Still did some Patreon episodes, got the winner of the US Open in the golf, Matt Fitzpatrick, only had three picks and he won at 28-1. So that was glorious.
That was pretty decent. And I had for the British Open, I had Tommy Fleetwood, who ended up fourth at 33s, and had Rory McIlroy to win it. And, you know, he did exactly what he usually does and just shat the bed, but at a different time. So he didn't do his usual first round shite the bed. He did it on the last day. But yeah, so some good picks over the summer. And the baseball's obviously still roaring on. So we'll have to do a review of that towards the end of the season. But excited to be back for the football, and excited to hear, I'm sure, what Dave has from League One and Two.
I say I'm excited to be back for the football, but the Scottish Premier League started last week. Obviously, English Premier League coming up this weekend. And my team, I was at Dundee United versus Kilmarnock, away at Kilmarnock. We were 1-0 up, got a man sent off with 20 minutes to go, conceded a stoppage time goal to draw one each, and my 25 quid bet at like 9-4. Just got evaporated, and I was like, "Oh yeah, football's really irritating." I quite enjoyed my 2 months off.
Did you feel that you felt at home though with that? Because I'm pretty sure that you said to me that they conceded a late goal from a corner, which is like your whole Dundee United theory that four corners equals a goal to the opposition.
Oh, we're just no. So what we did it the week before at Fleetwood. I went down to Fleetwood for our pre-season friendly. And again, we conceded a stoppage time goal. Like, so hopefully this isn't a thing this year, because I'll be tearing my hair out if that's the case. And we've got a huge game tomorrow night against AZ Alkmaar. We're in Europe, which is not normal for us, certainly in recent years. So games on BBC Scotland. There you go, Dave. If you want to watch some a Dundee United match, a European Dundee United match, can you imagine it? Don't need to imagine. Tomorrow night, 8 p.m.
BBC Scotland.
Dave, you've been going to the Commonwealth Games and things like that, haven't you?
Yeah, I've been to Dive, been out to Coventry to watch the judo. Yeah, it's good. Good day out. Didn't really know much about the sport, to be honest, but yeah, I got into it. It was decent, yeah. Loads of Scottish over there.
Yeah.
Loads of Scottish over there, yeah.
I think that there's been a lot. There's a big contingent for judo and also like for swimming. I've been watching a lot of the swimming recently, and it's interesting. It's actually really interesting as well that they're running. So they're running the Paralympics at the same time. So like it'll be one kind of regular event and one para event. And some of the para events are mental because like they have a whole in the S category. So like S5 or S7 or whatever. It's people with like actual different disabilities as well.
Yeah.
So you'll just have like guy missing an arm versus guy missing a leg versus like.
A blind guy.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like
that's mad.
It's incredible. So you watch it and you're like, and it was even more interesting. There was a lassie who was her category wasn't represented because they only represent every two. So it's like S5 has a 50-meter breaststroke, S7 has a 50-meter. So she was an S6 and had to compete at S7 and won a silver medal, which is like being an under 15 and being like, yeah, you're in the under 21s and scoring a goal. Like, it's incredible. It's really, really cool to watch. And I like the way they've integrated it in that it's not a... Because I wouldn't have watched the Paralympics if it was on post kind of thing because it's never given the same coverage. But it was really good.
It's been mad just to think that, you know, most of the events are down the road from where I am. So, like,
yeah,
the mountain biking's been in, like, Cannock Chase today, which is, like, 5 minutes away.
Oh, is it? I know two of the people who were racing for Scotland there is and doing that. They were both fourth. Very Scottish.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, Sutton Park had like the triathlon on the first day, and that's like 20 minutes away. But it's been really, really surreal to think that like I've been to these places and now there's like proper athletes.
So are we gonna see you 4 years' time, Dave, on the track at the cycling or maybe at the judo, just competing? Is it spurred you on?
Yeah. Maybe I might take up squash.
Yeah, that's it. Good lad.
Very sore in the knees, Dave. Very sore in the knees, squash. So, as normal, we'll run through our picks for the week ahead. But, Dave, I've seen in the Facebook group, which everyone is welcome to join, just search Trample Bet Podcast on Facebook and join the community there. A few hundred of us talking sports, especially sports betting. You've been giving us sort of like little overviews of how you think the various leagues in England might go this year.
Yeah.
Perhaps now might be a time to recap that and give us some of your thoughts behind who you think the league winners will be, or if you've got any cool special bets for relegation or points totals or anything like that sort of stuff.
I couldn't tell you what they are after the weekend now, but I really like Middlesbrough to win the championship. They were 9-1 at the when I had a go at them. They need a striker. They've just got in force from Brentford, but they could do with maybe one or two more decent strikers to proper mount a good challenge. But you know, Wilder knows that league perfectly well. He's made some good signings with Stefan in goal from City and Ryan Giles on loan from Wolves and. They lost Jed Spence, but the kid who played right back, he scored at the weekend. He looks better than Spence. So I don't think they're missing in there. But yeah, it's a lot there. Obviously, I've got to, after last year, I'm staying true to Bolton to get promoted. They have a 4-1. And I liked them. They had a decent draw at the weekend. So I think they've done well as well to come back. I think they need a good start. Last year, they didn't start playing until Christmas, and they got a really good run together and just missed out on the playoffs. Stockport fancied for League Two. They were around 6-1, promoted from the National League last year, but they'd already built a squad that could cope with League Two. So I think they ended up losing. They lost 3-2. Saturday, I backed them on Saturday. And I think they were 3-0 down after about half an hour. But they did football's back. Yeah, they did get it back to 3-2 in the end. So they're showing a bit of fight already. I think they should be up there towards. After my Beth Mead bet to win top scorer Paddy Power can piss off, rightfully so, seeing as they only paid me out half the money for a winner when she clearly won. But they've got some decent bets on City. I think it was City to score 96 or more goals this season. That was at evens, that was. Which I thought, yeah, it was pretty good. I don't know if it's still up there. I don't know if it was just a special on, but they also had one with City to win Premier League, FA Cup and League Cup that was 20-1, which I thought was worth it.
Cups are hard, though, aren't they? Like, it's difficult to win a cup. Especially with the amount of fixtures City are going to have this year.
Yeah, they're still going to, I mean, their
squad depth is... Yeah, their squad depth's immense, but still, you need everything. You just need one slip up, and you know you can salvage a league with one slip up, but one slip up, and especially like the League Cup, if you're not playing a full strength team,
I think Fulham were too big for me at 5-4 to go down. I think I think they've signed a lot of players, but that doesn't. What does that give you, really? To a squad that hasn't played together and doesn't gel together. You know, they've been up twice, been down twice. Mitrovic has never really done it in the Premier League, has he? Maybe this is his year, but I think they had a decent price at 5-4, Fulham were to go down. So,
yeah, I mean, It seems like it's always just like you see Fulham going up and then Norwich going down and they just trade places every year.
Yeah, I didn't say the Premier League. There's a thing going around where they're saying that they're actually just the same team.
Just
changed
that. Just back to back.
If anyone wants to go back and have a look, they're all still up in the group anyway.
And there won't have been too much change to price after one weekend. So yeah. I just had a quick check there. Middlesbrough still 8s on 365. So you can probably get that somewhere else and then apply your bet boost or whatever it is, whatever tokens that you get given at the other sites. You'll be able to find them. They're on the Facebook group. Do go and check it out. We mentioned the Patreon channel that we have. That's still going. And obviously, we're now back with season 5 and we'll be on there every single week. And you'll get access to this show early as a video podcast. So you can see the three of us on our Zoom call talking back and forth as soon as we finish. So it doesn't go to Gary. It doesn't get edited. It's a wee bit more raw and ready. And you also get the middle section of the podcast where we shoot the breeze about picks that maybe didn't make the show or just other things we like that doesn't go out on the regular podcast, a little extra section in the middle. And then you also get all the other content that we do around the golf majors, around big horse racing events, and really something darts, just depends, whatever big tournaments are coming up that we've got an interest in. We'll run some extra Patreon content. So head on over to Patreon. It's like £6 a month and it really supports us. And we've upgraded, as Gordon said, all our equipment. So hopefully this is now loud and crystal clear. And if you're on Patreon, you can see it. Yeah, you can see it. So thanks to all our patrons and hopefully we can get a few more. With that, let's head into that middle section. So patrons, we'll be with you in a second. Everyone else, we shall hear from you after this short break.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope. Because
I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome back, and now on to this week's picks for Saturday, August 6th, 2022, season 5, episode 1. And as usual, we'll stick to the same format that's always worked for the Trample Bet podcast. Bit of a run through for new listeners. We will each give you what we think is the best bet of the weekend, so Friday through to Monday. In 4 different categories. The banker, something that we basically expect to be an absolute stick on. And won't lose, and we hit these way more often than not. A value bet, which tends to be around the even money mark, where we think the bookies have maybe slightly mispriced it, or you're just getting a really good deal on a team where the odds of them winning, is better than the actual chances of it happening. The outsider bet, so that's something where the bookies have priced it up as an underdog, and we think there's some value in there. And then finally, a pick from each of us and a tenner of our own money goes on a treble, and all proceeds go to a charity, should it come in. So we've raised some good money in the past. We always, I think it's probably fair to say we've always given more out than we've staked.
Definitely.
Is that fair to say? I'd say that's definitely the case. And the charity travels over the course of the season. So we'll be looking to, I've seen your guys' picks already. You'll obviously remind me of them, but I did notice that you've both gone absolute shitebag for the charity picks. clearly wanting to get one in nice and early. And there's me way above even money, just out there on a limb, you know, going for the big bucks nice and early while you two are playing it safe. But that's the way we run it. So we'll go through all the bankers, all the values, all the outsiders, and end with the charity picks. So to open season 5 and the 2022-23 season, my banker is Saturday at 3 p.m. in the Scottish Premiership. Rangers versus Kilmarnock, and a home win here for Glasgow Rangers is 2-9 at 3.65. I watched Kilmarnock last week when they played at home to Dundee United, and I was not particularly impressed with their performance on their home plastic pitch. And going to Ibrox, that's going to be a difficult task. Especially, I think, as Rangers will be really keen to start the match positively, because they were criticised for starting last week's game against Livingston really sluggishly and going a goal down within the first 10 minutes. It was a game that they would go on to win and dominate, ending up 2-1 winners. But a lot of people were very unhappy with the fact that they didn't come out the gate strongly. So I think Van Bronckhorst will be keen on that, especially at home. And they'll want to put in a real dominant performance and lay their marker for this season. They're just much better than Kilmarnock. They've got new striker Antonio Kolak from Greek outfit PAOK playing up front. So I'll be interested to see what he does this season. But I think just attitude-wise, this will be a game that they will want to come out and show real strength, and they'll just be far too strong. And I think 2-9 is actually a reasonable banker price for that. I would be amazed if Rangers don't win this. Like, amazed.
Good That's start. It. Nice to see you going to somewhere you've had so much success in the past, in Ibrox. I am going to be... I'm just remembering the last season, the only time that I can remember, like, you don't lose many bankers, but the only one I remembered was Rangers, which is more frustrating. But yeah, anyway, so on to my banker this week, and I am in a league that's 17 games in. This is the Norway Elite Serien, in the top division in Norway, and I'm going to be taking, this game's on Sunday, it is at 5 o'clock, and I'm taking Molde away at Kristiansund. So this is top versus bottom. Molde have taken 39 points from their 17 games versus Kristiansund, who have played 16 games and taken a lowly 6 points. They are rock bottom of the league. They are, you know, 5 points away from their nearest competitor, who are also getting relegated on 11 points. The only win they've had this season was against recently promoted HamKam, which is a great name for a team. And they're just not very good, Kristiansund. Molde are playing midweek, which is why you're getting a good price on them. So Molde have got to go to Kishvarda in Hungary, but they're playing on Sunday. They're playing tomorrow night and they're playing on Sunday. And a lot of my picks will be around Europa League ties, because I think that's probably where you're going to get the most value early on in the season. Molde away here were 6-11 when I looked at them. They're now 7-11. So there's been some changings of the odds, but 7-11 for them here in this spot, I think is quite good, and it's quite big a price for a banker to start the season. But that is Molde away at Kristiansund, and that is 7-11. Dave.
Yeah, so I'm in Saturday at 3 p.m. and in the National League in England. And I do believe they were my first ever pick on this show, and they're going to be my first pick this season. And it's Wrexham against Eastleigh, and I'm going to get back Wrexham here at 1-3. So Wrexham came second in the National League last season, but only one team went up, promoted, which was Stockport. So Wrexham went straight to the semi-final of the playoffs, where they ended up losing to Grimsby 5-4 in extra time. Yeah, they scored 91 goals last season. Eastleigh finished 19th, got 46 points, and he scored 52 goals. Wrexham beaten both games last season, 3-2 and 2-0. They haven't lost to him in the last six meetings, winning three, drawing three. They've also made some decent signings, Wrexham. They haven't gone mental. They've brought in Elliot Lee from Luton, Tunnicliffe, good centre-half from Crawley, Anthony Ford, winger from Oxford. So again, they're players with league experience that they've managed to talk down to play in the National League. Because I think there's no money cap, I think, on what they can pay them, I think. So that's how they managed to get them. Yeah, but they've still got Paul Mullin, who finished top scorer last season with 26. We've got Ollie Palmer, who they brought in from Wimbledon still. And, I mean, Eastleigh's major signing this summer was Tristan Abrahams, who's one of Tammy's brothers. Whether he can get as many goals as Tammy can, who knows, but... No, to be honest, I expect Wrexham to not walk the league, but I expect them to win the league quite comfortably. So 1-3, yeah, we'll have that.
Welcome
back.
Yeah,
that sounds good. Yeah, welcome back. Sounds good to me. You've got to fancy Wrexham to do something big, you know, with Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney at the helm. They'll be wanting to put in a real good performance this season, yeah. Surely, yeah. It'll certainly be expected. So if you tally those three bankers up, so we've got Glasgow Rangers, Molde and Wrexham, comes out 1.5-1. There you go, 1.5-1 for a banker treble. Pretty good odds on two things I'm pretty certain will happen. And then I know nothing about Molde, really. I'm good, you know, I'm going to be straight up about that. But Gordon, if you're confident, that's good enough for me.
That's a first.
On to the value picks then. So something usually around the even money mark, but if we see value in it, is going in this section of the show. I'm staying in Scotland in the Premiership Saturday at 3 p.m. for Aberdeen versus St Mirren, and the home win for Aberdeen here is around 10-11, so it's just under even money. I've seen it in 9-10 as well. Aberdeen lost their opening game of the season last weekend 2-0 at Celtic Park. And I would not read anything into that at all. Every team will go to Celtic Park this season and lose. So it's pretty much a case of nothing to see here. St Mirren, though, lost 1-0 at home to Motherwell. And for me, that is a lot more telling. Motherwell were very bad in the Europa League Conference qualifying campaign, losing to Sligo Rovers. And then they've been able to go to St Mirren away from home and beat them. You actually need to go back 18 occurrences and back to 2011 for the last time St Mirren won at Pittodrie. That's a long time. And yet Aberdeen are pretty much even money in this game. So Jim Goodwin, new Aberdeen manager, they had a bit of a disaster last year with the Stephen Glass experiment. So they've got Jim Goodwin in, and he'll have them performing much better than last year's 10th place finish. You know, he'll get them fired up. He's the sort of guy... I think that we'll go through the players, get them fired up, and where that'll really tell is in a home match. Is he'll want to make them hard to beat at home. That's the first thing I expect to see as he makes his mark on the team. So I think St Mirren will struggle this year. I was saying earlier that they're probably my pick to be relegated from the Scottish Premiership, and almost even money for Aberdeen here represents great value in my opinion. I would probably expect them to be around like 7-10 or maybe even lower.
That's a good pick in there. The Stephen Glass experiment would be a really good name for a jazz band.
Hopefully they'd be more successful than Aberdeen were.
Last season, certainly. Well, in the value section for me, I'm taking us to my Coupon spiritual homeland, which is the French leagues. Slightly further up, League One, so the top division. And a pick that I think the best one I could bring this week. Not going to call it I'm not going to say anything more than that, but I think it's just a bit like, out of all the picks this week, this is the one I think damn good. Anyway, the pick is Strasbourg to beat Monaco. Now, Strasbourg finished 6 points behind Monaco last season, finishing sixth. It was their top finish in, I think, about the last 50 years, since 1979-80 was the last time that they were anywhere close to that. A 4-0 defeat in the last game of the season stopped them getting into the Europa Conference League, which is really disappointing for them there because it would have been their first European foray since back then. But they've been pretty good in the off season. They've had some decent preseason friendlies in there as well. And Monaco had to go and play last night against PSV, and they're playing next week against PSV in the Champions League qualifiers. Now, Monaco are going to need to qualify for the Champions League if they're going to be able to keep up the spending they've been trying to do. They've brought in a couple of players that probably could play with Southampton, Takumi Minamino from Liverpool and Breel Embolo, for two that they brought in. They drew one each with PSV last night as well. Strasbourg have had the better of this fixture the last three times it's been played. They've won two, drawn one. Monaco playing midweek in the Champions League here, as opposed to Molde playing in the Europa Conference League, I think is the difference here. And Strasbourg are 13-8 to win this game, or you can get them at decent odds there or thereabouts, 17-10 at other bookies as well. I think it's quite interesting that the spread that the bookies have this on. I don't think they've made up their mind really about how Strasbourg have performed this season. I expect Strasbourg to perform a lot better than people think, or certainly the bookies think here. And 17-10, 13-8, good price to do so.
That is a huge value pick for day one.
Yeah.
It's 17-10. 7-4 on Bet365. 7-4.
Yeah.
That's huge odds. So, yeah, I like your confidence in it. And if you can get that one in as a value pick on day one, that would be immense.
Yeah. So, Dave, where have you got us for value town?
So, I'm going to go to the start of the English Prem, Saturday at 3 o'clock. And it's Leeds against Wolves. And I like the look of Leeds at 5-4. So, as we all know, Leeds stayed up on the final day last year, beating Brentford. Good old Jesse Marsh. He gets a bad rep, doesn't he, just for being American, just because of the way he speaks. People don't really like it. But, you know, they've lost Rafinha and Kevin Phillips, obviously. But Marsh brought some players in that he knows. So he's brought in like Tyler Adams and Brendan Aaronson, that are both like USA internationals that he knows, both from the Red Bull organisations, one from Leipzig and one from the one in Vienna.
Who is this? Red Bull Leipzig and I can't remember the other one, but yeah, I know what you're talking about.
He's managed both of them, hasn't he? He certainly managed one in Austria anyway. But and then he's brought in Christian Rasmus for Salzburg, sorry, that's it. He's brought in another guy from Salzburg as well that he knows. They've got Bamford, should be back full fitness this season. Messi has a good keeper. I think they'll do all right, Leeds. I know a lot of people are a bit down on them, but I don't know. I think they'll be all right. But this is, I'm getting against Wolves because Wolves have, so they finished 10th last season, but they've got problems here. They've sent Fabio Silva, out on loan, who was the guy that spent like 30 odd million on him. He hasn't come off forward. And then Jimenez is injured. Traore is injured. They haven't brought any other striker in apart from Huang, who they had on loan last year. But, you know, he looked decent in the games he played, but he's not going to score you 25 goals a season. He's just a workhorse, you know. So it looks like they're going to play Podence as a false nine if they don't sign a striker. They've got Neto fit, but I think for opening day, I can't see him causing much threat. I'll take these. And by the way, two really good mates of mine, Steve and John, are both Wolves fans. They're probably going to hate me for this pick, but
straight in, Dave.
I like the pick. Yeah, I like the pick. I think Leeds will be all right this season.
Yeah.
And when I say all right, I mean probably around like 15th. I don't think they'll be relegated this year. But just looking through the league at first glance, let's take them on opening day. Let's be bold, Dave. I like it. So combining those three picks, Aberdeen, Strasbourg and Leeds, 10.84 to 1. Pretty good for a value treble if you fancied it. Now on to this week's outside picks. If you've listened to the podcast in previous years, you'll know that I like to go to the Japanese leagues, and that's where I am going for my outsider. Sunday at 11 a.m. in the Japanese top division, so the J1 league. for Kawasaki Frontale versus Yokohama F Marinos, and this is some game. You'll know from previous years that these are two teams that regularly contest the title. But the Marinos have pulled away at the top of the league with 48 points. That's an 8-point lead over second place Kashima Antlers after 23 matches. They're currently the form team in the division, 11 points from their previous five games. And Kawasaki haven't been the unbeatable force that they've been in recent years. They're currently back in fifth place with 37 points, although they do have two games in hand on pretty much every other team in the league. Form-wise, only managed 7 points from the last five games. So this is actually a huge game in the J-League season. A win for Kawasaki, they're suddenly 8 points behind top spot with two games in hand, so a possible sixth, meaning really maybe only 2 points behind. But a win for Yokohama will leave them 14 points back. Even with the two games in hand, that then seems pretty damn sizable. Yokohama F Marinos has been really good on the road this year, 19 points from 12 games, and they'll know the importance of this game. Kawasaki, good home record, 22 points from 10 home games, but they used to be absolutely invincible at home, and they're just not this year. And I really like the big odds of 17-10 on Yokohama as the underdogs here, especially as they turned over Kawasaki back in February 4-2. And Kawasaki have only won once in their last seven matches across all competitions. So that's not normal for Kawasaki Frontale. That form is not normal. One win out of seven. Okay, some of them are cup and some of them are friendlies. It's a game against PSG in there as well. But they're just on a bit of a downturn, and I think Yokohama might sense blood. My one fear would be that they think a draw is good enough. You know, just don't let them gain any points. But I think it's 17-10. I'll go for an away win. So the Yokohama F Marinos away at Kawasaki Frontale.
Nice. I take us very far from Japan to Switzerland. Not a league that I generally do much in. However, I like one game this week, and that is Sion away at FC Zurich. The league itself is only three games in. So the Sion have played three games. They've taken 4 points. Zurich, who are in the qualifiers for the for one of the European competitions, have played three games, scored 0 goals, conceded 6, and have taken 1 point from that. They haven't started the league well at all, and they have to play Linfield tonight, Linfield tomorrow night, and they've got Linfield again next week in between there. Now, Linfield won't be the opposition that you know, it's not as if they've got Monaco PSV or they're doing anything like that, but you know, they're going to have to tough games and they're going to have to travel for that. And I think Sion are pretty... a pretty decent outsider in this spot because they haven't traditionally done much against them in the league in previous seasons, but they started quite well again as well. Zurich lost at the weekend to St. Gallen. That was after St. Gallen went down to 10 men at about 60 minutes. So St. Gallen were only 1-0 up at that point. They went on and scored again. So it's not, they haven't been great so far. They've done nothing in the league. They went through against Karabag, so they've been travelling a bit for this in the last couple of weeks. But I really like Sion here at quite a large price, 31-10, 11-4, 3-1, whatever you're going to get them at. This is really a bet against Zurich, or a bet against the fact that they've got to play midweek and they'll be thinking about a game next week after that, because it doesn't look like they're going to be qualifying again next season. So that's Sion away, 3-1-ish for this. Dave, what you got?
I'm in League Two. It's at the again at 3 o'clock, and it's Newport against Warsaw. And I'm going to take Warsaw here at 11-4. So Flynn, the Warsaw manager, he came in last season, at the end of last season, after they looked like they were going to struggle, but he kept them up, did pretty well. It's his first full season. He knows this league really well, Mike Flynn. But first game last week, they won a bit of Hartlepool 4-0 at home. Danny Johnson scoring a hat-trick, a guy that got in on loan from Mansfield. Apparently, they agreed a two-year deal in principle, and Mansfield changed their mind and sent him out on loan. So maybe they might be calling him back if he continues his goal-scoring rate. But no, they look good last week, Walsall, to be fair. They've also got Timmy Abraham, which is another one of Tammy's brothers.
How many brothers are you? Are you just backing old Tammy Abraham's brothers to score?
Yeah. So, yeah, that might be a good bet. Newport, their first game, they drew 1-1 away at Sutton. Newport, they'll be all right, I think. They might make the playoffs this year, but if you're going to give me Worsley 11-4 here after the performance last week, I'll take that all day. I think that's a really good price on him. So.
Nice one. So,
ideal.
Japan, Switzerland and Walsall.
not that I would advise anyone to do this, but to let you know that comparative purposes, combining those three picks as a treble is 39.5-1. It's pretty much 40-1 for
that. Quite short on that. Sometimes you get that and you're like, it's 85-1.
It might be my 17-10 shot in there that's, dragging it down a little bit because it's under the 2-1 mark. But 39.5-1, I'll probably put that on as a tricksy. So I just need two of them to come in. So fingers crossed.
I just need 12 to come in.
12, the mega coupon is always the dream. So they're the main picks from this week's show. And I mentioned our Patreon channel before. If you join us on Patreon, usually Thursday morning, you get all of these picks released on a cheat sheet. So you can just pull it up on your phone app and you can see all the picks written down. Don't have to take notes or try and remember things as you listen to the show. Okay, on to the charity picks. Let's try and get our first charity treble of the year sailing in. I am in Scotland in the Premiership Sunday at 3 p.m. for Dundee United versus Livingston in the home win for my own team. Granted, Dundee United is 7-5. I was at their opening game of the season away at Kilmarnock, ended in a 1-1 draw thanks to 10-man Dundee United losing a stoppage time equaliser, but we did look much better. We finished fourth in the table last year, and I believe that our squad has improved since last season. The youngsters now have a much-needed year of competitive football under their belt, and combined this with we've made some quality new acquisitions that have been brought in. So we've got Stephen Fletcher playing up front for us now, doing a role that we just didn't have anyone to do last year, and that'll really free up Tony Watt. So that's really, really important. Dylan Levitt signed him permanently from Man United. He was arguably our best player last year, so to have him permanently is wonderful. Picked up Craig Sibbald from Livingston and Glenn Middleton from Rangers, so both in the midfield. So this is better than we were, and we were good enough last year to finish fourth. And I just think we're going to have, at home especially, a really good shout against Livingston. And the fact I would have expected us to be priced around even money, but we're actually all the way up at 7-5. So I've seen enough to think that this is pretty good odds. Made even better by Dave telling me pre-show that this was almost his blue pick. So cheers,
yeah,
Dave.
I had a look at it. I liked it. Liked it a lot.
I mean, that is good. But beating Livingston when they're away at you is the thing that everyone needs to do, because no one's getting any fucking points at the spaghetti head, man. It's the shittest pitch that is in Scotland. Well, Kilmarnock have been promoted. I forgot about that, actually. So anyway, my charity then is also in Scotland. This is in the Championship. This is round two. And I am taking Cove Rangers or draw. This is Morton versus Cove Rangers, and I'm taking Cove Rangers or draw in this spot at 3-5. Cove have been really good. First game of the season for them. They're top of the league. Also, mainly because the alphabet helps them a little bit there, and Partick are much further down there. But they won their first game 2-0 against Wraith. Hamilton versus Morton was a game that finished 1 each, and any of us could have predicted that because it's Hamilton. But the kind of dismal part about that was Hamilton get a man sent off really early in that game after they'd scored. So they were 1-0 up, get a man sent off. Morton scored from the resulting penalty and then couldn't do anything in the second half. They got a whole bunch of guys booked. It turned into like a proper battle in there. Morton were all right last season. They hadn't been too bad, but they've lost a lot of the players that they had in. I know this because of Gavin from our baseball team, who is a super Morton fan and has been telling us about it for ages. But I think Cove will be good in this league. They are, if you look at them, they last season they got promoted out of League One. They're now in the Championship. This is a different quality there. But to come in and to beat Raith, and they've still got Mitch Meganson playing for them as well, who just seems to score at every level in Scotland. So anyway, I did like Cove to win this, but I'm going to take Cove or draw because it's a charity bet, and that's at 3-5. So Andy's given, for all the patrons, Andy's or non-patrons, Andy's giving me the thumbs down there, but he won't be giving me the thumbs down when they end up drawing this one each, and then where the charity comes in on the back of that. So Dave, what have you got to round off this week's show?
Yeah, so I'll round us off, and it's League One Saturday at 3 o'clock, and it's Peterborough against Morecambe, and I'm going to take Peterborough here at the great odds of 3-5. You know, we want this charity bet to come in, don't we? Yeah, so Peterborough relegated from the Championship last season, but they're hotly tipped to go back to the Championship for the first time of asking. Last time they were in League One, then they finished second, scored 83 goals. They've still got players like Jack Marriott, Clark Harris, Sammy Smodzik, all good players at League One level, all going to score goals week in, week out. Beat Cheltenham 3-2 last week in the first game of the season. Morecambe, you know, surprised everyone last year by staying up. They were, again, hotly tipped to go down and ended up finished 19th. Hotly tipped to go down again this season, so see if they can stay up again this season. But drew 0-0 at home to Shrewsbury, first game of the season. Only had two shots on target as well in the whole of the 90 minutes at home. So I think Peterborough certainly had to score them there. But one for if you're into your football kits and sponsorships, apparently Tyson Fury's Gypsy King brand is sponsoring the shorts of Morecambe FC. Not the top, the shorts.
The shorts, good
man. Yeah, if you want to get them, get on them.
Well, that makes sense, though. He doesn't wear tops when he's playing his sport, does he?
Just
shorts. So, you know, he would be the short sponsor. Fantastic. So that's a charity treble of Dundee United, Cove Rangers on the double chance, and Peterborough. And that comes in at just under 5-1, 4.7-1. So hopefully we've got 57 quid next week to be giving to a charity. That's the goal. Gents, thank you very much. We are back with a bang. If you do what Gordon does and want to back all the selections, it's 6,860-1. There you go, G-Man. That's your mega coupon odds.
That's the mega coupon odds. I mean,
you've come close before. We've got 10 out of 11 once.
We've done 10. I've been sitting once with us. I probably shouldn't say this. I've been sitting once with an £800 cash out watching Jerome's team spunk away a fucking 2-0 lead. that was NEC. You know, it's great to be in these kind of positions. Yeah. It's, you know, one day we'll hit it. And when we hit it, new car for me.
It'll be glorious. Before we wrap up then, obviously we're massive football fans ourselves. Dave, where are Villa going to finish this year? Off the top of your head. Don't think too hard. Just give me a number.
Eighth.
Oh, okay. And because obviously Joey and Jerome aren't here, Palace and Man United.
So United, I think they'll be all right under Ten Hag, but I don't think they'll break the top four. Say sixth. To be honest, I think, you know, as much as I don't like saying it to Jerome, but I think Palace will be decent as well. I think that might finish above us. I think they're seventh. I'll give Palace.
I have to be. Cool. Okay. Gordon, Liverpool, where are they coming this year?
Winning the league.
Yeah. Bold.
Arsenal.
Fourth. There you go. A return to fourth for Arsenal. That's what I see. And then obviously our Scottish teams, G-Man, Hibs.
Just don't get relegated. That's it. That's genuinely like we've been last season. We just went off the boil. United.
Fifth. I'm gonna have high aspirations. I know we finished fourth last year, but fifth still seems a stupidly high aspiration. But I think that's where I'd like to see us finish this year. Well, that was the podcast. Join us on Facebook. Join us on Patreon. Really hope you've enjoyed the show. It's been great to be back for season 5. Thank you to Gordo. Thank you to Dave. All that's left to say is good luck for the weekend. Happy hunting.
Bye.
The Trampled Bet podcast is produced by Andy Vaughan, Gordon McLarnon and Gary Black. Part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. Find the next show you'll love at sport-social.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network. Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.